Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Chairman Adams, community chest workers, and friends of human needs. This mobilization for human needs is more than ever an expression of our national spirit in the year 1940. It is, as it always has been, a good cause, participated in by good Americans who represent all sections of our country, all walks of life, all shades of political opinion, all races and creeds. But in this critical moment of our history, we must be more than ever conscious of the true meaning of the community spirit which it expresses. It is a spirit that comes from our community of interests, our community of faith in the democratic ideal, and our community of devotion to God. Wherever men and women of goodwill gather together to serve their community, there is America. That was true in the first little town meetings in the Massachusetts Bay Colony, when the good folk assembled to decide measures of defense against the Indians, how to build their first school, how to care for their aged and sick. It is still true in this great national drive all the way across our continent, this great national drive for the community chest funds. Even in the early days when our society centered in the village community and when every neighbor knew all the neighbors, the care of the poor was in some measure a public undertaking. In colonial America, indeed, money raised through taxation was often distributed in the old days by the churches, distributed among the poor. Later on, the county government and the city council assumed a part of these duties. And then still later, the state itself began taking care of some portions of the sick. And finally, in our own day, the national government in Washington was obliged to assume a definite responsibility in giving work to able-bodied, needy, unemployed. At one stage in this national history of ours, the baskets of bread and of meat that were carried by housewives to the houses down below the railroad tracks were adequate to temper the suffering of the victims of industrial depression. In those days, a group of businessmen, three or four of them together, gathered on the sidewalk at the chief corner of Main Street, could devise, and nearly always did devise, some method so that Joe Smith and Tom Jones would be able to buy shoes for their children. But when American industry went on a mass production basis, it became increasingly difficult for men to find employment on the assembly line. It created a problem in the unemployment of elderly men and middle-aged men and young people, a problem too great to be solved by the goodwill of individual men who met on a street corner. Still later, when the World War caused our great plains to be plowed up for wheat, and the wheat fields turned into dust storms that drove 200,000 members of the Joad family to California, and probably a good many more that we don't know about, there was a problem of unemployment and suffering that could not longer be handled by mere baskets of bread and meat. Through the industrial era, there were created problems of old age and of mass unemployment and of occupational diseases, of industrial accidents, of child labor and sweatshops, problems that were too great to be solved by the individual or by the family or by friends or by private charity alone. These were problems that could be handled only by the joint and common endeavors of the government of the United States, the government of the states, the government of the counties, the governments of the towns, together with the organized charities and social service agencies that were run by private gifts. Government authorities have always needed the cooperation of men and women who are banded together in organizations such as those you represent to bring the kindly touch of human sympathy to the tragedies of dislocated, broken families. It is necessary for us to remember the very intimate, the human side of these problems. Only in a limited measure can flexibility of any government administration temper the impersonal quality of general rules of law. Private charity is an essential to personalize, to humanize the task of relieving suffering. For general rules cannot cover the wide range of ever-varying human needs, because human needs are affected by a thousand matters that do not fit into pigeonholes. As long as there is illness in this world of ours, as long as there is poverty, as long as families are stricken with personal misfortune, it will be necessary for the good-hearted men and women of America to mobilize for human needs. And so this year, as never before, there is need for an intensification of our efforts. Events abroad have warned us not alone of the need of planes and tanks, of ships and guns. They have also warned us of the need of grit and sacrifice back home, of daring and devotion, and all those intangible things that go to make up a nation's morale. When we join together in serving our local community, we add strength, not only to our local community, but to our national community as well. We help to fortify the structure of our whole union. That form of fortification, that spiritual fortification, is not to be dismissed lightly by those in other lands who believe that nations can live by force alone. Human kindness has never weakened the stamina or softened the fiber of a free people. A nation does not have to be cruel in order to be tough. The vigorous expression of our American community spirit is truly important. That ancient injunction, to love thy neighbor as thyself, is still the force that animates our faith, a faith that we are determined shall live and conquer in a world poisoned by hatred and ravaged by war. And so, my friends, I ask for your enlistment in the mobilization for human needs, for your wholehearted devotion to the American community spirit. I ask you to prove your good faith in good works.